Indeed, he is the only way, and that it may not be a song about our nation, but it certainly should be a song to our nation, a message to our country. Jesus is the only way indeed. On Mother's Day, we had a lesson in prophecy for mothers. And we followed that on Children's Day with a lesson in prophecy for children. On Father's Day, a lesson in prophecy for fathers. Well, this is our nation's day, or tomorrow is. So what are we going to study? How about a lesson in prophecy for our nation? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we study His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus, the only way to have our sins forgiven and to have eternal life, a way to heaven. We do thank You for our nation, the United States of America. We thank You for the freedoms we have enjoyed through the many years that our country has existed. Lord, we want those freedoms to continue. We pray that You would use us in our little corner of this nation to do what You want us to do, to be useful to You for Your purposes, and seeing that those freedoms can continue in this place. As we study this morning about what You have in store for the nations, help us to understand what that is for us here. And we pray for Your help as we study in Your Word, and we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no specific statement in biblical prophecy that refers to the United States of America. There are some who try to squeeze it out. I was doing a little reading on some who find the United States of America in the beasts of Daniel and Revelation. I thought about reading some of it to you, but to tell you the truth, it was so confusing to me, I couldn't figure out what they were talking about. The way they twist the words of biblical prophecy to squeeze out the United States of America, it's rather disappointing to see some people use the Bible in that manner. But in biblical prophecy, God does talk about the nations, and the United States is a nation. Now, granted, the word nation, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, can refer to either a political entity or an ethnic group of people, or Gentiles in general. But the United States of America is primarily a Gentile group of people. There are many Jewish folks that live here, and we do not want to dismiss them in any way whatsoever. They are special to God. But we are a nation in the world. There are places in the Scripture where God refers to the nations of the world, and obviously is making reference to specific countries or the various countries around the world. We'll look at biblical prophecy in that light as to what God has in store for the nations, and since we are one of those nations, obviously these things apply to the United States of America. Well, let's begin in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12 and verse 30. Luke chapter 12 and verse 30, where it says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." Now, that raises a question. What is it that the nations of the world want? What are they seeking after? What are they looking for? Well, we have in this passage, beginning in this chapter, verse 22, where he is addressing this issue that he addresses in the book of Matthew chapter 6. In verse 22, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on." And the two primary things that he addresses in this passage is food and clothing. And he says, these are the things that the nations seek after, food and clothing. In this section of verses, he also talks about sowing and reaping in order to put things in a storehouse, adding to one's stature, and being arrayed in glory. Well, these are certainly the things that we observe in our own society. People are fascinated by food and clothing, accumulation of wealth, and being important. These are the things the nations look after. This is what our nation is looking after. The people in our nation are looking after. I mean, when the Bible was written, nobody ever thought there would be such a thing as television, let alone the fact that there would be an entire channel on cable television devoted entirely to food. The Food Channel. 24 hours a day, you can watch how to prepare food or how to eat it, one way or the other. It's amazing, isn't it? Food, food. How many restaurants are there in York? Not quite as many as in Lancaster. And some of us go to Lancaster to eat, don't we? Food, we love food. Fascination with fashion. Is fashion a huge industry in our society? Oh my. Food and clothing. We seek after these things. We want them. Our nation wants to eat well and dress well. The substance of things that make our lives comfortable. That's what the nations seek after. The question is, what will nations do in order to obtain those things? Would you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 8? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8. It says, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." There is an element in this world, beginning with the Tower of Babel, followed through with the strain in history of Babylon and all of its followers. Continuing into our present day, the pursuit of immoral and ungodly indulgence in the passions of the flesh. And if that's what it takes to get what we want, that's exactly what the nations of the world will do. And that's what the nations of the world have done. That's what the United States of America, though founded on godly principles, though begun by pilgrims who came to worship God freely, though established by men who studied the scriptures at night and made laws based on that by day, we have become a nation with a passion for the flesh and willing to drink of the wine of the wrath of the fornication of Babylon. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 3. In Revelation chapter 18, we have the destruction of Babylon in the tribulation period. I believe Babylon will be rebuilt and will become a glorious city, a center of commerce. You know, it wouldn't take very long for that to happen. With the technology and equipment that we have today, things can be built rather fast. It wouldn't take generations to rebuild the city of Babylon. It could be done practically overnight. It's going to happen. It says the city of Babylon is going to be destroyed at the end of the tribulation period. Now, I know some people say Babylon's a code word for Rome, but I don't see that anywhere. I don't see a basis for that anywhere in Scripture. When we get to Revelation chapter 8, later on in the year, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But here, in this context, and the destruction of the city of Babylon at the end of the tribulation period, it says this in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." The nations of this world will commit political, social, and religious fornication in order to obtain what they want. We are seeing that unfold before us in this very day, where we are willing to make concessions with our historical values as a nation to obtain what the world thinks is peace and prosperity. This same chapter, chapter 18 and verse 23, it says, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, in the city of Babylon. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were nations deceived." I do not think that the leaders of our nation understand how they are being led down a path of destruction. It is as if we have been set on a course that cannot be changed. And even though there are elements in this country who understand and can see through the decisions of politicians and understand that we are on a destructive path, those who are responsible for making the decisions just don't seem to get it. Sorry for being so political this morning. We're not typically that way. But this is a message for our nation. And Scripture says the nations will be deceived. There is no reason for us to think the United States is an exception to that. This nation is being deceived and being led in a path of destruction. But let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40. We read here a little bit earlier. Isaiah chapter 40. What are the nations to God? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 15. He says, "Behold," Isaiah 40 verse 15, "Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust." What's a drop in a bucket? Can you water your plants with a drop in the bucket? Can you take a shower with a drop in a bucket? Does a drop in a bucket change the weight of the bucket? Hardly. I mean, if you had some kind of a scale that measured microscopic changes, you could maybe detect a little, but a drop is nothing. And so he goes on to say in verse 17, "All nations before him," that is God, "all nations before God are as nothing." Oh, we think we are so important. We are so powerful. And when we compare ourselves with other nations of the world, the United States is a very powerful nation. We have great capabilities. It was interesting to see the exercises taking place against the country of Libya and the involvement of NATO and the descriptions in the news media how that no matter how much NATO wanted to do, all of those countries in Europe together did not have the capability of doing what the United States does. And if we didn't do it, they couldn't do it. We're a powerful nation. And I believe there was a brief period of time in which everyone in this world was afraid of the United States of America, which made us even stronger politically, militarily. But let's say that God turned against the United States of America. What could we do against Him? Would God need to bring all of the forces of the armies of heaven to rage against our planes and missiles and atomic bombs? Would there be a huge battle and casualties on each side? No. For the United States of America, as far as God is concerned, is nothing. All He would do is speak a word, and we would be gone. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 23. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 23. That bringing the princes to nothing, He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Even the rulers of the nations of this world are nothing in the eyes of God. Nothing compared to Him. Oh, they may feel very important. They may feel very powerful. But when they stand face to face with God, they will shrink into nothing. Go to Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 31. 25, 31. Jeremiah 25, 31. Jeremiah 25, 31 says, "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations." The Lord hath a controversy with the nations. Does the Lord have a controversy with the United States of America? He says He has a controversy with the nations. And the United States is a nation. The Lord must have a controversy. What's a controversy? Controversy is a dispute. It can refer to a case at law, a quarrel, something with which He is displeased and ready to deal with. You see, let's begin reading in verse 30 here in the context, where He says, "Therefore prophesy thou against all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter His voice from His holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon His habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth." Does that include the United States? Sure. We're on the earth. "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. God is going to judge the nations of this world. And what will the result be? Micah chapter 7. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Micah chapter 7, verse 16, the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. There's going to be judgment, and the world is going to be afraid. But God wants to do something better than that. So much different than that. In fact, God has done something so much different than that for the nations of the world. Would you go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. God has done something marvelous for the nations, and through it, he intends to bless the nations if they will receive that blessing and believe and trust in him. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." Now think of that. In the gospel that God preached to Abraham so many thousands of years before, God intended that gospel to be a blessing to all of the nations of the world. Verse 9. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." That, why was Christ made a curse for us? Why did Christ hang on the cross? Why did Christ hang on that tree in that body in which he bore all our sins upon himself there? Verse 14, "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And you know what's interesting about that word Gentiles? Is it's the same Strong's number as in verse 8, the word nations. Now, we could equally read the word Gentiles in verse 8 or the word nations in verse 14. In fact, if we would read it that way, he would say in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations through Jesus Christ. What happens in a nation when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached? What happened in the history of the United States because the gospel was preached here in this land? You know, this is a place where great revivals moved across our country at different times. When men stood in pulpits, when men stood in streets, when men stood in tents, when men stood in fields and preached the gospel, and many hundreds and many thousands and tens of thousands came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and their lives were transformed. What blessing came upon this nation because of that? How much gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached from this nation to other nations in the world? From this land has gone many multitudes of missionaries to other places. And churches and Christians have financed those mission endeavors and prayed for those mission endeavors. This has been a nation historically that has preached and promoted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's hand of blessing has made this nation stand tall in this world, has been prosperous and powerful among the nations of the world. Why is that? Because he said he wanted to bless the nations through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity theology, don't get me wrong. The point I'm making is I believe that God will honor a nation that honors the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can localize that. I believe that God will honor a church that honors the gospel of Jesus Christ, that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that supports missionaries and makes missions a priority of its financial endeavors. Too many churches, their finances get tight, the first thing they cut is missions. Bad mistake. And in our nation, the number one candidate for criticism these days are those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bad mistake. Would you go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16? When you preach the gospel, there is power in the airwaves that brings salvation to the hearts of men. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And in the preaching of the gospel, there is a blessing that accompanies that. Romans chapter 15 and verse 29. Romans chapter 15 and verse 29. I'm going to read verses 28 and 29 together, where Paul is addressing the Romans, and he makes this statement, Romans 15, verse 28, when therefore I have perceived this, performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come to you, come by you into Spain, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. When people are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a wholesomeness that comes. There is a cleanness that comes with the sanctification that we experience in the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. in wholesomeness and cleanness and morality and integrity, in ethical behavior and approach to society. Those are the things that promote family and prosperity. We wonder why we can't pay our bills in our nation today. It is because we are financing ungodliness. And God will never bless that. If we would get the gospel first, get men saved first, and see sanctification come to their hearts first. Many of the problems in our nation would be resolved. And you remember how we started? What are the nations looking for? Food and clothing, power and prosperity. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, please. Verse 31. Do we want people in this nation to be full and clothed, housed, warm in the winter, and live comfortable lives? Absolutely. But what is the best approach in bringing that about? Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know what the problem with our nation is? That's all we can think about. All we can think about is how we're going to feed the poor and feed ourselves and clothe ourselves and take care of ourselves, and we are so self-centered. God says, take no thought for those things. Verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek after, the nations seek after these things. We shouldn't be thinking that. Well, what if the nations would change the way they thought? What if the United States of America would stand up and be different in this world and say, we are not going to think first about ourselves, we're going to think first about something entirely different than ourselves? What would that be? Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's the promise? All these things will be added unto you. What a nation the United States would be if they would seek first, if we would as a nation seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There was a time when that was the case. I remember reading about the founding fathers of our nation in the first Congress. Right after the Revolutionary War, when those men assembled there in the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, they would literally go home at night, almost every one of them, not everyone, but almost every one of them would go home and have devotions in the Bible. Many of them particularly chose the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy was Moses' summary of the laws. It was given to the nation within the last 30 days of Moses being here on earth. They would read the book of Deuteronomy and see what God had prescribed as righteousness. And they would come to the floor of Congress the very next day, and they would stand on the floor of the House and the Senate and declare, last night in the Holy Scriptures, I read this. Now I propose we make a law to that end. Wow. Can you imagine a congressman doing that today? But what if we did? What if instead of being the only ones that are politically correct to criticize, Christians would be the only ones politically correct to compliment? What if those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ were the most honored among our nation? And the leaders of our nation sought the righteousness of God and implemented that as political policy in our country. What if the presidential candidates in this next season, instead of spouting a lot of the same old political jargon, would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaim that as their platform as they seek the office to lead this nation? How different would things be? Prophecy tells us that God intends to judge the nations. And there is no escape. Because in the eyes of God and by the power of God, the nations are nothing to Him. And He will make them afraid. But for those nations, who will trust Him? Those Gentiles, those people of this earth, outside of the nation of Israel, who will trust Him? There is blessing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may not be able to convince our Congress, our state leaders, or even our local leaders to preach the gospel. But we can. We can do our part to proclaim the truth and lead as many as possible to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because only in the gospel of Christ is there blessing from God. Oh, that our entire nation would understand that and believe it. If you are here today and never have received Christ as your Savior, we want you to know that Jesus Christ took all of your sin in Himself. He took it to the cross and bore all of the suffering that would take you an eternity to experience in that moment of time on the cross. He spilt His blood there, and with that blood He satisfied the holy and righteous God the Father. Jesus Christ did everything that needs to be done. There isn't anything else to be done. All is left for you is to believe. Believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that Jesus took care of your sin problem. Believe that Jesus is ready with open arms to forgive you for your sins and to give you eternal life in Himself. We invite you this day to trust in Jesus Christ and receive the blessing of God for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing we experience in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blessing in our individual and personal lives when we came to know Christ as our Savior. Lord, we do pray for those that are among us that might be without Christ. Help them to understand. Bring understanding to their hearts and minds by your word that they might receive Christ today. We pray for the United States of America, our nation. We pray that there would be men and women in high places in this land who would understand this truth and allow themselves to be used of you to implement this here. The honoring of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The honoring of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The honoring of those who believe and are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.